Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 126 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am your host, Eric Walquist, and joining me this week, as he does every week, is your other host.
I am Jesse the Terrible Treble Wilson.
How's it going, J-Dog?
I feel like I'm gonna die.
Why?
Well, okay, so at work, we have these, we have a couple of cold rooms, you know, where the kegs are stored and the bottles and stuff before mm-hmm. they're served.
Mm-hmm.
And they have big, heavy cold room doors. And, I was standing in front of one of these doors, and normally there's not a lot of traffic through the doors. It's just basically a beer closet.
Okay.
But we're doing this renovation, so they're demoing one and, like, going back and forth through it.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, like, was going through one and opened it super fast, and the big, heavy steel, like, lever knob hit me right between, like, my upper hip and kidney.
Ah.
I feel like it knocked my spine out of place.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's horrible.
You're officially an old man. Or a professional athlete. One of the two.
Yeah. Oh, man. I feel like I got laid up by a Seahawks cornerback or something. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, comparatively. I don't know. Having a week. These holiday weeks are throwing me off. Like, Tuesday's off, and then, like, Monday's on, Tuesday's off, and then more weekdays, and then weekends. I don't know what's going on.
Mm. See, I chose to work through it. I said, New Year... I'm going to get off on the right foot by not taking any days off this week.
I usually get off on my left foot on New Year's, but only on New Year's.
Right.
That was a weird joke.
It was good.
Yeah.
Solid.
Thank you.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't take New Year's Day off.
Well.
What I did was I took a nap, and then I woke up at like 10:30, stayed up. For the New Year's countdown.
Yeah.
And then I put on the first episode of Futurama.
There you go.
Which you may or may not know features a New Year's countdown.
Is that the one that takes place in present day?
Yeah. The pilot episode, and he gets frozen on time mm-hmm. right when the ball drops on New Year's.
Dude, when that little puppy, like you really, mm-hmm. that's right in the feels, man. Right with the puppy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a different episode.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
You're thinking of Jurassic Park, but that, I skip it. I cannot watch Jurassic Park without crying.
It's so sad.
It's the saddest thing ever.
It's like the Green Mile. I can't help it. I just start bawling.
They retconned it with the new episodes. Were you aware of this?
Oh, so the dog didn't die?
They changed it so that, Fry actually goes back to the year 2000 and, interacts with the dog, and it lives happily ever after. They actually changed it when the new series came out.
Oh, God. That's like Kevin Smith's last film before Red State.
Exactly?
It's a cop-out. Some people got that.
Hey-o!
I bet you Roger Dotsy got that. He connected the Dotsy on that one.
Speaking of, should we get to it?
We should. Before we do, I just want to see, do you have any resolutions this year?
I did. My mm-hmm. resolution is to paint 12 paintings this year.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. You got any inspiration or?
Well, I'm going to paint one for Levi. I'm going to do a new take on an old favorite.
Oh.
You know, the dogs playing poker?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to change it to a bunch of orcs from Warhammer playing poker.
That's great.
And I'll give that to him.
So you're just trying to become a Reddit superstar, aren't you?
No, and actually you'll find out later why I'm not.
Okay. Well, my resolution this year is I'm going to try to drive to work less.
Okay.
So I've actually started. I've been taking the bus to work. I realized uh-huh. that there's a bus that picks me up two blocks from my house and then takes me literally to the front doorstep of my work without having to transfer anything. It takes me clear across Seattle.
Is that like the 5?
It's the 5. It turns into the 21.
Yeah, I used to take the 5 from your place all the time down to the ferry.
I'm savvy, baby.
Yeah.
I'm savvy on the 5. But the problem is that, so I've been using my bus time, my newfound bus time, to catch up on the podcast's episodes that I've been missing. And so I've been listening to a ton of Mabim Bam, because like my brother and me is a great podcast to listen to on the bus.
Right.
With one problem.
You can't laugh.
Exactly. This morning I was stuck on the bus. It was crammed with people. There was a dude who was literally sitting in my lap. And I was listening to Mabim Bam and I started laughing and like it was becoming uncontrollable. So I literally had to turn down the podcast to zero and collect myself. Before I could, cause who wants to be the laughing guy on the bus?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That happens to me at work a lot. I'm listening to a podcast and lately, since the weather's been cold, I've been wearing like heavy winter gear and you don't even know I'm listening to a podcast. So all of a sudden I just start laughing.
Yeah. I guess that's the whole thing about it. Like I'm married. I got nobody to impress.
Exactly.
And I'm on a bus. So, like, if there's one safe place other than a roller coaster to laugh out loud for no reason, it's on a bus.
I think the roller coaster is the best.
Yeah, well, I mean, roller coasters are, like, fair game. You can literally do anything on a roller coaster. And wow. I think that's like international waters.
Yeah, that's where I do all my gambling.
Exactly. But you know, I don't know. I might let it rip next time because I have been listening to podcasts at work. I listened to the entire back catalog of How Did This Get Made, and I would just sit at my desk and laugh at myself in my cube.
And, now, do you listen to it with the speakers on, or do you listen through headphones?
No, through headphones.
All right. So I have a problem where, especially now, because the head brewer is gone at work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm kind of in charge of things, which is really bizarre to me.
Okay.
So I'm listening to my podcast, minding my own business, and then people come up and start asking me things.
Oh, man.
And I don't know. It's like I either have to miss part of the podcast and take it out of my ear or like unplug it. And then it's like a whole hassle because I'm using a Kindle to like plug it back in and fire it back up and everything.
See, that's what you got to do with the desktop because you just hit the button on your keyboard.
Yeah.
And everybody's used to, see, I wear my headphones 100% of the time when I'm sitting at my desk. So everybody's used to like sneaking up behind me, scaring the bejesus out of me. It's interesting the different techniques. You can really tell a person's personality by how they interact with someone wearing headphones from behind.
Yeah.
Cause there's like,
go ahead.
There's the shoulder tappers.
Uh-huh.
And then there's just the I will repeat myself 40 times until you recognize me as a human being. And then there's my favorite, which is the loop arounders. They're the people who loop
your field of vision.
Yeah, they loop around to the periphery and then start waving.
That's what I am.
Yeah.
I'm a looper.
Yeah,
I get up in your vision. And I'm like, that sense is down. I'm using the backup sense.
Yeah, you're Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You're the looper.
Yeah, first I'd try and fart on you.
Well, that's effective.
Attract your sense of smell.
You know that I have a history of that at work, so I don't want to get into that right now.
But speaking of getting scared at work.
Yes.
It's funny that you bring this up because at work, we're going through a period of construction.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of like, sawzalls making their sound and power drills and demo tools and especially like metal pieces clanking to the floor.
Uh-huh.
And so that's all going on while I'm like cleaning tanks. And the thing about these tanks is they're like large steel, like hollow cylinders essentially. And they're very susceptible to pressure change and they're designed to have a ton of internal pressure. You know,
right.
Like 20, 30 plus pounds of internal pressure and be fine. But if they have external pressure, if they have a vacuum, they crush like
they'll crumble.
Cans.
Yeah.
So anytime like I hear any of these sounds, I jump and I'm like, oh my God, I just destroyed a tank. That was just 10 feet away and it was fine. And then, oh my God, it happened again. It's been driving me crazy.
Well, speaking,
I think I'm going to get gray hairs.
Well, that's cool though. Get the silver fox look.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Going straight from ginger to silver fox, that's like the that's like the holy grail of hair. That's rare.
Yeah, if only I could pull it off. We shall see.
Well, anyway, speaking of beer, Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking the Winter Hook. Good idea. Red Hook's Winter Seasonal.
Ah.
It's okay.
Yep.
Yeah. That's right on, about all I have to say about it.
I'm right on par with you because I'm drinking the Pyramid Snowcap.
Ooh.
Gotta get them while you can. And Pyramid Snowcap, I will say right now, since 2012 is done, this was my favorite Winter Seasonal of 2012.
It crushed it this year.
It's very pedestrian. Like, Pyramid is this, like, you know, it's not even, like, I don't get Pyramid beers because they, like, the sampler pack always has the really gross, like, the apricot.
Yeah, like,
or the chai wheat.
Pie.
Yeah, the ginger.
Rim job.
But they knocked it out of the freaking park with this thing this year.
The Pyramid this year was fantastic. Yeah. It's the best Pyramid I've ever had.
It really
I
is.
Agree with you 100%.
So, Snowcap, I wanted to get it while I could. I think you're right on the same page. You got to get those winter seasonals in while you can because it's going to start dewing up and then raining and then flowering. Yeah. And then who likes spring seasonals?
Suddenly it'll be nut browns.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's all the brown ales.
I like brown ales.
I like brown ales. Yeah. I could do that. I completely forgot about spring seasonals. Anyway, so let's get to it here.
Real quick, dedication.
Yeah, Dedo, baby.
Well, you dedicated it to Russell Wilson last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Or last week. This week, I'm dedicating it to my favorite Seahawk, underrated Leon Washington, number 33.
Leon Washington. He doesn't even share your last name, and you're still voting for him.
I know. He's my... I can't shake it. For whatever reason, he's totally won my heart. I'm like a teenage girl with a crush on him.
Pro Bowl bound, by the way.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's going to the Pro Bowl.
Good. Totally deserves it.
Totally.
And, yeah, Leon, this is for you. And good luck on Sunday.
Let's do it, guys. Let's root for the Seahawks and watch them crush those racistly named sports franchise from the nation's capital.
The Chiefs?
Yeah. I think that's okay. Them. Anyway, let's go ahead and get to some listener feedback this week. I want to give a shout out to Chris Rogers. Chris sent us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com, said, "Hey guys, love the podcast. Found you through the Watching Dead podcast. Love you, bold move. I was wondering if you guys play or have ever played Magic the Gathering.
No.
I play the game religiously and I love it. Just wondering your thoughts on the game and if you play/played, what are your favorite formats and cards?" Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, what?
Chris.
What are we, nerds?
What are we? What are we? Have like a nerd podcast every week?
A couple of geeks?
What are we
talking about, geek things?
And games and stuff? Yes, we love Magic.
Yeah.
As evidenced by the last podcast. But I will say my favorite version of Magic to play is definitely drafts.
Oh yeah.
And like a little draft tournament is super fun with your friends. Get together, get three booster packs. $12 never felt so good.
I agree. Well, Eric, he asked about your favorite cards, and I'm actually curious to hear about your new deck that you've been putting together.
Well, I did. I just got it together on Monday, and I got to play Magic last night, but I didn't get to break this bad boy out because I was playing a multiplayer format, and I feel like it's a little cheap in a multiplayer format.
Yeah.
But I got the Azor's Electutors, which is from Return to Ravnica. That's right, guys. We're going down this road. Return to Ravnica. And this card, you put it out, and then at the beginning of your upkeep, you put a filibuster counter on it. If you get 5 filibuster counters on him, you win the game. So you can filibuster a game to death, which I think is awesome. And anybody who's heard our Magic Minute knows that this card's right up our alley.
Yeah, it's weird that it came full circle.
It really
because
did.
We...
Go ahead.
Years ago,
explain.
We started talking about filibustering Congress with Magic cards.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can win a game of Magic cards by filibustering.
Literally on our very first episode. I think we might have a fan of WotC. I'm just saying. Anyway, so I built a deck where basically you got to put these guys out and then it's all walls and control cards. Because if you get any damage, you take a filibuster counter off of them. So it's all walls. All my creatures are walls except for the Azor's Electutors. And then I have control cards. And then I have a couple of enchantments that give me the ability to have multiple upkeeps in one turn. And I've done a lot of mock playing with it. And I think I have what it takes to win about 40% of the time. But
wow.
I'm the type of player that you call a Johnny, which is a type of player who...
A Johnny Goldmane?
Exactly. I'm a lion. I'm a lion planeswalker. But basically, I'm the type of guy who I like to get a great combo together, and I don't really care if the deck's that dominant, as long as I can get that great combo. And that's what this set is off of. Like, I have a Changeling deck, which is based off of Coat of Arms, which is just like trying to get, basically trying to steal all the other guy's creatures. But that deck works about 10% of the time. So, and then I have a First Strike Death Touch deck as well, which I really, really enjoy. And that deck's pretty damn stout.
That's a beast of a deck.
It's a beast of a deck, but you also have a beast of a deck, Jesse.
Yeah, I just have a fun one. It's basically my deck that I've been building over several years. I just kind of pick out fun artifact cards and add to it.
Yeah, but it's a Thopter deck, basically. It's a Thopter bomb deck.
It's got the sharding sphinxes that poop out more Thopters and create Thopters when they come into existence. It's fun.
It's a great deck. I like playing that deck versus First Strike Death Touch. I think that they're a good match.
Your deck usually wins.
Well, that's why I love it so much. So, Chris, tell us, Chris Rogers, please tell us what your favorite formats are, what your favorite cards are. And, yeah, I'm just getting back into Magic right now. And I literally today found a coworker who does Magic, and I'm thinking about starting up a Magic club at work. So wow. That's how dorky I am. And, but this guy hasn't played since Ice Age, so he's like, he needs to get back in the loop. Okay. Anyway, we've got some other listener feedback we got to get to before we start our show. Roger Dotsy, Connect the Dotsy for this week. He says, hey guys, been a while since our last correspondence. I was so thrilled with my mini series email about Santa Claus. Please go back. I think it's two episodes ago. We really fleshed that Santa Claus mini series out, and I love that. We got a lot of good feedback on that. I just didn't have anything to say the past couple of weeks, but I'm back with a high recommendation. Django Unchained is awesome. If you're Tarantino fans, and I am a huge one, Jesse, I know you like Tarantino as well. It's a great addition. He has certainly found his niche in historical revenge fantasy genre with great direction, copious gaudy violence, fantastic music, and a super fun script. It's a 3-hour movie that feels like an hour and a half. Leo DeCap, Sam Jack, and uber talented Chris Waltz. That's what I'm calling him now. All put out incredible performances. Go see it. But Roger Dotsy, we love you. We love you, all of our listeners. You can always send us an email at personalergots@gmail.com. We read them all. We love them all. We cherish them. We write them out longhand, and then we burn them in a fire at the end of the year as a ceremonial blessing to the elder gods for our podcast. Mm. So the more, the merrier, except for our writer's cramp. And we also have a voicemail line, 360-362-0024. We did get a voicemail this week, and I would love to play it right now.
Fuck it.
And that's it.
I feel like this is an episode of Ghost Adventures.
It is. This is like our second Ghost Adventures. This ghost is obviously a little on edge.
Yeah. Hey, bro, I heard that you think you're a tough guy in this insane asylum. So if you're so tough, why don't you make yourself, be known? And I don't have anything against all the people who died here of natural causes.
Yes.
That's my Ghost Adventures impersonation.
Perfect.
Have you watched much Ghost Adventures?
No. I just know that the dude wears t-shirts that are way too tight.
He's always antagonizing the ghosts.
Well, that's exactly the kind of response you would get.
Yeah. So, exactly. But the thing is, like, he will antagonize the ghosts, but then afterwards, he makes sure to not be offending the ghosts who aren't jerks.
Excellent.
I'm totally serious. If there's a ghost that did jerky things, like killed someone, right, he will just like call him out and like call him names all night long. But if there's a ghost of someone who just like kind of died of like the plague, then he's like super polite.
Well, you should be. I mean, that's just a ghost doing ghost stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Not a jerk ghost.
Not a jerk ghost. Not that, you know, he's also just doing ghost stuff, but you got to bust the ghost every once in a while. If there's anything we've learned, you can't be afraid of no ghost, and you got to bust a ghost every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jesse, let's do our little tiny Matt roll-off. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're each going to roll a 20-sided die. We're going to see who gets to speak first on the podcast this week, And here we go. I rolled an 8.
17.
Oh, 17. All right, you go first, buddy.
Well, okay. So I don't have so much of a topic as I need to do a little bit of a therapy session.
Excellent. Eric. Excellent.
Because you know me, I'm a dweller.
A dweller.
Yeah. If something goes wrong in my life or someone says something mean to me, I just think about it and dwell on it for a long time.
Now, do you take it personally?
Extremely.
See, I'm in the same way.
I know, you're exactly the same. We're both dwellers.
We just found the onion of our relationship, Jason.
It's that we both take things extremely personally.
Unless we're saying it to each other.
Yeah, that's true. We're not too hard on each other,
that's
though,
the
honestly.
Thing. I think we understand the soft mushy core like a gusher candy.
We're a rotten onion.
We're just a waxy, chewy exterior filled with fruit juice. And that's the gusher of our soulless existences.
Exactly. So what happened here is I was on Reddit/r/beer.
Mm.
And there was a topic and they were discussing the merits of canning versus bottling.
Ah.
And it was turning into basically like a big can love fest. And everyone was saying that canning is better than bottling,
That's
which is
BS, dude.
The only thing
cans are good for is camping.
Exactly. No, you're 100% correct. And everyone was saying, the thing about beer with cans is they don't allow any light into the bottle. And I think, especially with beer geeks, they latch on to one piece of information. And act like that's the end all be all when it comes to beer.
And it's one piece of information that was broadcasted on a Sam Adams commercial 5 years ago that has perpetuated throughout beer culture. All it is a marketing technique.
The fact is, if you have a brown glass bottle that's stored in a case, light contamination is a non-factor.
Right.
And you're much more likely to have heat influence your beer than light if it's stored incorrectly. And that's regardless of its bottles or cans. So what I write is, in regards to this, and it's a total can love fest, I write, it's a personal preference thing. I prefer bottles to cans for craft beer. I feel like aluminum affects taste slightly, whereas glass won't. When it comes to light, if we're talking about brown glass bottles inside a case, light is a non-factor. Heat is much more likely to affect beer than light. I also simply don't think it, quote, feels right drinking IPA, for instance, from a can. Yeah. The way it pours off the lip of the can is different from a bottle. That being said, I prefer draft beer above any other packaging.
And I'm with you, buddy.
So that's what I say. And I get a couple of responses that are, you know, whatever. And then Black_0 decides to chime in.
Oh, it's Black Zero, man.
Black Zero, he says, I'm sorry, but this logic makes no sense. You say that aluminum affects the taste, so you prefer bottles to cans. Then you say you prefer draft beer over all packaging. Draft beer is stored in a keg. The keg is made from aluminum.
God.
And technically, the beer in cans never touches the aluminum anyway. Beer cans are coated in epoxy liner that imparts no flavor to the beer. I'm afraid it's all in your head.
BS, by the way.
Super BS.
This guy drinks Coors Light. These people are quoting beer marketing commercials.
And who's to say epoxy imparts no flavor?
Exactly. And by the way, a can, so you have 12 ounces of liquid around how much metal, right?
Exactly.
As opposed to a keg, which is made out of steel. It's not made of aluminum, is it?
Right. No, that's exactly the point I made to him.
Yeah.
In my response to him, I say, kegs are made of stainless steel.
Yes.
To which... And this is where I'm starting to get upset and thinking that the internet is just no place for me.
Okay.
Because I can write something And then I have this sense of dread,
right,
and I don't want to come back to the website because I know there's going to be that little orange envelope in the yep. top right corner of the thing that says someone has some bullshit to say to you.
Right.
And that gives me anxiety, like legitimate anxiety between when I make a response and now there's a choice when I log on to the internet, like, either I have to confront this thing,
right,
or I can just say goodbye to Reddit forever.
Right.
Those are my two options.
Right.
So he says, not all of them. I have 8 kegs in my storage unit.
My God.
3 of them are made of aluminum.
What a dick.
Which, that's weird.
That is super weird. And I believe, Jesse, I said that I believe you wrote most kegs are made of steel.
No, I wrote kegs are made of stainless steel.
Okay. Well, regardless, most of his kegs are made of stainless steel.
Regardless, I don't think he actually has 3 aluminum kegs.
I think it's BS, dude.
I've worked with modern kegs.
Right.
I'm a professional brewer.
Right.
This is something I probably should have just said, but I hate playing that card.
Yeah, because then it's Reddit, so it's like prove it. And,
yeah, exactly. But like, I've worked with modern kegs. I've actually worked with antique kegs. I've worked with modern Sankey straight sides. I've worked with sidebung Sankeys. I've worked with Golden Gate kegs. I've even worked with the crazy, like, root beer kegs from 1950, and they're all made out of steel.
But have you worked with the Appaloosa straight shooter?
Of course.
Have you worked with the Finnegan's Nightmare?
I've worked with the best of America.
Okay.
So I reply to him, and yes, I am just going to read this out. Uh-huh. Well, the vast majority of kegs used commercially in the U.S. are made of stainless. Some kegs are made of unicorn farts and magic. And this is where I took it a little. I took it into the sarcastic side,
which I
probably should not have done.
No, that's perfect. You got to take the Reddit curve. Because otherwise, I just want to let you know, there was a Ask Reddit, I think it was just a couple days ago, of what is the snobbiest subreddit. And beer was in the top 5.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. It's super snobby. I hate it because I love beer. I hate beer snobs.
Right, right.
I will drink 4 Loko out of a aluminum horse trough. That's how not beer snob I am.
Right, right. Last night I went to the magic thing and my buddy was like, "Hey man, you want a beer?" And he brings me back a PBR, all right? And I'm like I can't ever say this word.
You're Vietnamese.
I'm Vietnamese against PBR. Vehemently against PBR.
Yes. Are you?
I am. Like, I think that it tastes like, and this goes all the way back to college, because when I was in my frat in San Diego, I was in the Jewish fraternity. I was the only Gentile in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a story for another day.
Goliath.
Yes. And there was 2 crews of the cheap beer. Because when you're in college, if you're in a frat, you have the cheap beer, right? There was the Natty Ice crew, and there was the PBR crew.
And you took Natty Ice?
I was a Natty Ice, buddy, because I was...
Wow.
I don't know if I should say this on air. I was not of experienced drinking status at that point. And therefore, I wanted beer that tasted like water, and that's what Natty Ice is. One beer.
So you are only 21 and a half. I get
exactly,
you.
Exactly, exactly. So anyway, and I've had this thing against PBR like for a long time. And I drank PBR last night, and I was like, you know what? This isn't that bad. I don't know what my deal is. This
is actually not that bad.
Completely drinkable, and I think I've been on this bandwagon. And then I made this joke. I was like, you know, guys, I think that somebody should just bottle PBR in like glass bottles and sell it for like $10 a 6-pack with a different name, and I bet you it would be like I bet you somebody would drink it.
Well, PBR won a gold medal at GABF in 2012.
You gotta be joking. That's what we were talking about. We should just call it Winner.
Yeah, they won a gold medal at the Great American Beer Festival in 2012 for American Lager.
That is crazy. It's a lager, but it's got a little something.
It's got a little bite at the end of it for sure.
All right, Jesse, what else you got about this topic? You gonna wrap up Black Zero?
I just want to go on. Basically, he says, "What's your point? Kegs are made out of metal."
Mm.
And I said, stainless is different from aluminum.
Yeah, like, hey, buddy, why don't you try to paint a DeLorean? And then you'll understand what the difference is between stainless steel and aluminum.
And he says, oh, really? So all the guys homebrewing in aluminum kettles have beers just tainted with metallic taste, huh? I'll let them know. And I say, who's talking about brewing? This is a packaging issue. And so I close it off. I say, anyway, I'm done with this conversation. You seem to have some sort of grudge and or personality disorder. And I could tell the whole time, because I would come back like 18 hours later and he would have made a reply. He's just the type of guy who won't let you get the last word.
Right, right.
And this is what gets me the most, is that like I have I can't even, there's no way I'm going to engage him anymore. So I have to surrender the last word to him.
Yeah, that's
fine. And he says, or it isn't an issue at all. Grudge? Yes, I'm an angry aluminum mogul and I'm holding a grudge against all the glass bottle companies. So he just says like this sarcastic thing at the end.
Your sarcastic thing was way funnier, by the way.
I was totally sincere when I said he had a personality disorder.
No, the unicorn and magic thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, Eric. It just like, I'm such a dweller that I actually legitimately lose sleep about this.
All right. There's only one thing to do here, buddy.
Just destroy my computer, go on a neo-Luddite rampage, and take a magnet to the VHS store?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or we have a bunch of people that were pouring this sob story into their ears right now. If our listeners have the perfect comeback for Dark Zero, please let us know, personalarrogance@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
I also love that his name is Dark Zero. Like, he's basically
Black Zero.
Oh, Black Zero. He basically has the name of a supervillain. So it's kind of perfect.
That's true. And that's X-E-R-O. Black _X-E-R-O. Go ahead and just downvote everything he's ever said if you want. I'd be fine with that.
I think we need our comeback for Black Zero. So if you have that, please write us personalarrogance@gmail.com. I'm going to move on. So, Jesse, earlier today, I went ahead and posted on Facebook, just letting everybody know we are a day late in a dollar, but never the dollar short. I just wanted to see if anybody had any topics that we should talk about this week. And, good buddy, friend of the show, has a brand new podcast. Anybody should check it out if they're in the comics. It's called Comic Sans. Mitch Netzer said, he got this right off of Ask Reddit. What live animal would make the best melee weapon? And Chris Mansfield seconded that. He said, I second the melee animal question. So I think we have to answer this for the fans, Jesse.
Octopus. Next topic.
Why an octopus?
It's got 8 freaking arms with suction cups. That's like turning one of, especially if you're dual wielding, you have 16 limbs now.
Dual wielding. I'm sorry. Dual wielding octopus is a pretty.
And they're light, so you could throw them too. Like if you have a whole backpack or like aquarium pack full.
Well, Jesse, but what? How do you carry them? How do you keep your weapon? This has always been my qualm with the lightsaber. It's like, if I had a lightsaber for 20 minutes, my leg would be gone. Like, it is not a sword, so it doesn't bounce off anything. It's just going straight through.
Right. But I think you have to, you know those lighters for like lighting your grill where you have to pull the trigger and also push with your thumb the thing?
Dude, but you're swinging it around. Like, I would be legless Calrissian in about 12 seconds.
If you're trying to use it as an actual weapon.
Exactly.
You make a good point. The octopus would probably just turn on you.
I guess that is the reason why only Jedi use them.
Yeah, like, I think that's the best part of it.
Yeah, Han Solo isn't picking up a lightsaber.
Basically, you know, yeah, except he did once cut open a tauntaun. Take that.
Mm.
That would have been funny if he did it backwards and cut his guards off.
If you remember back, he is very delicate with the lightsaber in that scene.
He is, yeah.
He holds
certainly.
It with two hands, and he's very, He's very clunky. Let's put it that way.
So the Jedi see like a couple seconds into the future. Basically, when they're sword fighting, they're just seeing like them dismembering themselves over and over and trying to avoid that.
Lydia and I watched this terrible movie called Premium Rush this week, and it's about bike messengers, and it's basically that exact thing.
Was that the one with Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah, it's pretty terrible, but it's like bad in a good way.
That guy's in everything.
It's like it's basically like a movie. It's like a 10-year-old mid-90s BMX commercial for like an hour and a half.
10 years old and mid-90s? Because I don't know how that's mathematically possible.
I meant four 10-year-olds.
Oh, okay.
But that's what he does. Is every time he comes to an intersection, he like looks left and he sees himself riding that way and then getting like slashed by a car. And wow. Then he like looks right and he sees himself like cutting off a UPS truck. Or no, cutting off a pedestrian who then gets run over by a UPS truck.
Nice.
And then he...
So he takes that option, obviously. Yeah.
And then he, like, looks at this one angle, and then he, like, rides through that angle. So that's basically what he is. He's Jedi-ing.
He's a Jedi. That seems like a... I feel like you could be doing more with your life with that set of skills.
Yeah. Well,
maybe
he also...
fighter pilot or...
In the movie, he already graduated law school but never took the bar.
Uh-huh.
That's the kind of movie this is.
Instead, he took the handlebars.
Exactly.
Was that not the tagline?
No. I think it was.
I think it should have been.
See, I'm a big fan. I'm always a fan of, like, the swordfish. Or, like, a marlin is very wonky.
Swordfish is too obvious.
What about a narwhal?
What about a T-Rex?
Well, see, that's the whole stipulation. I have to read you this. There are rules to this. So I have this. I have the subreddit open right now. It says...
I haven't seen this.
This has nothing to do with the deadliness of the animal itself, but rather its potential to be picked up and weaponized by a human. So while, say, a bear might triumph in nature's arena, it is far too large and unwieldy for human use.
Mm-hmm.
So I think...
Porcupine would be good.
Porcupine is up there. I think echidna is also up there. I'll read some of the top answers right here.
I don't think echidnas are actually, like, I think you could touch one of their spines and be okay.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I'm really thinking sea urchin. Like a sea urchin mace. The problem with that is it's going to break apart. Right?
A little squishy.
Little squishy. Okay, so we have the myotonic goat is the biggest one.
What about armadillo?
Yeah, I was thinking armadillo because it's tough.
Right.
It's a tough mutter.
Just for bludgeoning. Purposes.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing is like, I was having a conversation with two doctors about The Walking Dead at a Christmas party a couple weeks ago. And they were talking about like the medical issues of The Walking Dead. Like, why is it when you cut somebody's neck, why does blood spurt out of them? Because they shouldn't have any blood pressure because they're dead. But then we were debating as to whether or not they actually do have blood pressure. And I said, it's probably just kinetic force. Anyway, we were talking about what would be the best weapon in a zombie apocalypse, and I was like, baseball bat is what I'd go for. Because, you know, crossbow, you can run out of arrows. A sword or an axe can get stuck in a body, whereas if you have a blunt instrument like a baseball bat, that's gonna bounce off dudes. And it's completely manual. It's an analog weapon.
Yeah, then you gotta ask yourself, like, I don't know enough about the nature of concussion, but is it, like, concussion enough to destroy a zombie brain?
Yeah. If you hit someone in the head...
If we're saying yes, then that's definitely
better. And they're rotting corpses, so I bet you if you took a good swing with an aluminum baseball bat, you'd lop their head would come clean off.
Skull don't rot, buddy.
But neck do.
Spine, yeah. I guess.
Spine rot. Buddy.
Yeah, I would rather take a baseball bat than a sword.
Yeah. Yeah. Or an axe, really, because axes are too top heavy. This is one from Reddit. A box jellyfish flail. Poison damage wins. That's pretty badass. But the problem is the box jellyfish would die in a matter of hours.
Yeah, I'm still going with octopus on this one. I think you grab one of the legs and then you twirl it around like a morning star for centrifugal force to keep the other seven legs away from you. Because now you're controlling those seven legs that are just spinning around. And then you could just slap someone in the face. Those other seven legs, which are freaked out, they just grab the first thing. You got that guy, like, totally under control. You could throw him to the ground.
Yeah.
You could suffocate him. You could just let go of the jellyfish, and it's going to kill it. Jellyfish are hyper-intelligent. They got the beak. They're lightweight. You're not gonna break any of its bones by spinning it around, because guess what? It doesn't have bones, buddy. I think octopus wins.
I also like the idea of a stingray. Just because wielding
too soon. Too soon.
Oh God.
Sorry. Steve Irwin was a national treasure.
I'm sorry, but to all the Aussie fans. But really, I mean, obviously, it's been proven.
Well, I mean, is this a one-on-one fight, or are we talking about like a free-for-all?
I think it's a one-on-one animal melee weapon versus animal melee weapon. That's what I'm assuming.
See, what I like about the octopus is it's got staying power.
Well, except it's out of water.
That's
the problem.
Fine. The octopus at the Seattle Aquarium, like, every 2.5 months it breaks out of its thing and, like, ends up on the monorail.
That's because it's hyper-intelligent.
Exactly.
Well, if that's
Plus,
the case...
Plus, you could get it like a reverse scuba suit. Why not?
Well, if that's the case, then I'm going lionfish flail.
Well, what's a flail? You get to attach it to like a dowel?
I'm tying a rope around its tail.
No rope, no dowels, no chain. It's an animal.
All right.
It has to be entirely on the merits of the animal.
Well, I think as always, cephalopods have reigned supreme on this show. And
yet again.
And we tip our hat to H.P. Lovecraft.
Or the ram, though.
The ram?
Let's not forget.
You can't carry a ram.
Sure you can.
No, you can't carry a ram.
How much does a ram weigh?
A ram weighs like 120 pounds easy.
That's fine. Well, look at, I mean, historically, and this is one of my favorite things of like medieval weaponry is the battering ram. Is you basically turn like a tree
so you're
into
just
a big bludgeoning weapon, and then you carve like a ram's face on
right.
the end of it? That's awesome.
So you've basically got this ram under your arm, and you're running around with it.
Using
the momentum to destroy other people.
You grab with your left arm, if you're right-handed like me, with your left arm, you grab it like right on the scruff of the neck.
Yeah.
And with your right arm, you just put it all the way up the butthole, like Mega Man.
Okay.
Like it's a Mega Man ram. And then
Wow. So it's a puppet ram.
Yeah, it's a puppet ram.
It's
and then
a,
you
it's a Muppet
smash
ram.
People with it.
It's a Muppet ram.
I wish everyone could see the gestures I'm making right now.
I'm glad I can't. You know, and I think finally, you gotta bring into the Swiss Army knives of melee animal weapons is the duck-billed platypus.
Because that's a good point.
Poisonous spines under the feet.
Uh-huh.
You have the tail, which is the slap face tail. And then a razor sharp beak. And
that's pretty good.
And it's portable.
Uh-huh. I also, as long as we're going with Australian animals, the koala, just for surprise factor. Again, this isn't like the, I'm thinking of like a 20 person free for all scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Just like one guy in the corner with a koala, and then you think it's no big deal, and then all of a sudden,
excellent.
Yeah.
All right, Jesse, well, we need to move on to some trivia. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, we're going to do Genus 1 of Trivial Pursuit. I'm going to roll a six-sided die to see which category we're doing this week. I rolled a 4, which is arts and literature. Jesse, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I've just been reading up on that.
On arts and literature. I think anytime you're reading about literature. Whatever.
Not what I was reading.
All right, let's play along at home. Jesse, this question is for you. Who is Queen Aletta's husband?
That would be King Othello.
I believe that was Isabella, but I'll say Macbeth. Prince Valiant from the Saturday morning comics.
Yeah, right. I should have known.
I guess it's Sunday morning. Who reads a newspaper anymore? Garfield. This question is for me. Who was dipped in the River Styx? I'm going to say, what's his fucking name? What's his name? Dante. I'm going to say Dante.
I was actually just talking about this to a couple of the local drunks at the bar today after work.
Uh-huh.
It's Achilles, hence the Achilles heel. He was dipped in, and whoever dipped him was covering his heel, and that's why he has the vulnerability there.
All right. You got it, buddy. That's quite.
I can't believe that came up.
That's astute of you.
Thank you.
This question's for you. Whose autobiography is titled My Wicked, Wicked Ways?
Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page. I'm gonna say Ralph Nader. Errol Flynn.
Of course.
Yep. Robin Hood of his time. That's actually true. This one's for me. I need this to tie. What was the biggest selling American novel before Gone with the Wind? Biggest selling American novel before Gone with the Wind. I'm going to say Moby Dick.
Creeps of Wrath?
Damn it, I was going to say it. Oh, I was going to say this. It's Uncle Tom's Cabin. I was going to say that.
Too bad you didn't.
Oh, F my L. All right, Jesse. Well, you also won the roll. If you won everything this week, Jesse, what's your second topic?
Okay, so for my second topic, if you're anything like me, you may have had the inclination once or twice to raise the old one finger salute to a police officer.
What?
Just in your, you know, in your rebellious youth.
In the rebellious years. I think, I don't know.
You see a car, and he's a cop car, and he's waiting in trap to give you a ticket.
Uh-huh.
And even if you're lucky enough to survive, but it just, you know, you think, what a disaster that would have been if I'd been going, you know, 5 miles an hour more than right now. And you think about raising the middle finger, but you don't.
Maybe a curt head shake.
Well, the thing is, I've always been curious what would happen.
Uh-huh.
What would happen if you did flip off a cop?
I think it greatly depends on the cop.
Right. And it's like, I mean, on one hand, pardon the pun, that's like protected speech, but is it? I don't know.
Right.
So a man, Mr. Schwartz, found out in 2006, he was a passenger in a car in New York when he saw a police car. It was, I believe it was Memorial Day, and he decided to give him the old one finger salute.
Right.
Mr. Schwartz, he was a Vietnam veteran and a retired airline pilot. He extended the finger out of the car's roof, apparently, which I like that move.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously was so enraged that he was able to bust his fist through the roof. Yeah. This is in 1986. In 2006, they didn't have sunroofs.
Yeah, exactly.
They had moonroofs at best.
The first sunroof was 2009, I believe.
Right, right.
So, he ended up getting pulled over for this. As a passenger, the car got pulled over. This is 2006, and this law, the legality of this has been going on 7 years later.
Uh-huh.
And, just recently the charges were dropped, but he was, cited with, disorderly conduct.
Okay.
And my favorite part of this story was the officer who pulled him over. Eventually, the judge decided that he was pulled over for, you know, a weird pretext.
For exhibiting freedom of speech.
Well, you can't just pull over someone for flipping the bird, as right. it were.
Yeah, there's probably, because there's also the thing, so like here in Washington State, for a while, talking on your cell phone was illegal while you're driving, but you couldn't get pulled over for it. It could only be a secondary offense. But then they changed that so that now it's a primary offense. So now you can get pulled over for talking to your cell phone while driving. Whereas before you couldn't do that. It was only like secondary offense. And I think that was the same thing with seatbelt laws for a while as well.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if this is a secondary primary offense or what, but the reason the cop gave for pulling him over was, he thought that Mr. Schwartz was, quote, trying to get my attention for some reason.
Well, that's probably true.
And the police officer pulled him over because he, quote, wanted to assure the safety of the passengers.
Right. And did he write a ticket or anything?
Well, he got arrested.
What?
For disorderly conduct.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. And after 7 years, it finally has been the charges dismissed.
You know, I'm not a big fan of wasted federal dollars. But but when it can flesh out,
are you a Mitt Romney speechwriter?
When it can flesh out a hard-hitting topic like this for 7 years through the justice system, that's when I'm saying, Uncle Sam, open my wallet and take what you want.
Mm-hmm. I've always been curious what would happen. I've actually thought about this in the past, like if you did flip off a cop. What would they do? And
what state was this in?
I think you're right. New York.
Ah. Well, NYPD doesn't have the best track record.
It doesn't? That's not what the TV shows would lead me to believe.
Yeah. TV shows would lead you to believe you're a jogger, you're going through the park, you find a dead body, they ask one person, they think that's the guy, turns out it's another guy, then that guy goes to court. And then it's a cliffhanger, but right before it ends, they find out that it was him, and then dung dung.
Yeah.
And that's that.
There's some comedian who was saying that he suspected it was the joggers committing all these crimes. They're always the ones around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, basically this leads me to the conclusion that I should just keep my finger where it belongs, and that's on the steering wheel at 10 and 2.
There you go. Or in your nose.
Yeah, that too.
You are driving.
Middle finger in my nose. I don't know who it's the joke on with that one, if you flip someone off with your finger in your nose.
It's a great dodge. You're flipping off the world, but you're also flipping off yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa, that's pretty meta.
It's deep, buddy.
Deep.
That is one thing about riding the bus as well. This morning I witnessed a man pick his nose, and then put that finger right in that mouth. Just right in there. And then, this was the kicker, okay? So he's sitting right across from me, and I see the finger up the nose. It's like Indiana Jones up there. It is going for the archaeological expedition, okay?
He's searching for the crystal skull.
He found the crystal skull. He found it. Okay, he found the crystal skull and all three stones in the Temple of Doom. He's pulling out the finger, and then he puts it in his mouth with a dodgy eye, looking around, and I'm all peripheral vision on this because I'm giggling to my brother and me. And then I take a look at him. He's like looking over at the back of the bus, just doing the scan. But the finger's still in his mouth. This is a good 2 to 3 seconds later, because he's converted it into a nail chewing activity.
Oh yeah, just chewing the old nails.
Yeah, just chewing the nail.
Maybe Eric, what he was doing is he was picking tartar from his teeth and putting it in his nose.
In his nose. That makes sense.
Well, what would you rather though, Eric? Would you rather he eat his own booger or wipe it on the seat in the public transportation?
I'm saying save the booger expedition for a place that cares. This is the whole thing, man. You're on the bus. I'm on the bus. I'm laughing to myself. I'm the crazy guy in the corner. No one to impress. Okay? So
if it has to happen, though.
I guess you're right. I guess
at least he fell
wrong
on that grenade.
He fell on it. He felt the bug, the dust attack happened, and he said, I got three options here. Let's go for the garnish.
What's the third option?
The third option, it's the flick, the stick, or the nom. And he nommed
it. Yeah. So you stick it and you choose exactly where someone else is going to find it later. Or you flick it and you allow fate to decide.
Dude, it's the bus. Literally,
who's going to find it later?
Everywhere on the bus smells like cigarettes. Okay? This is the bus. Okay? Put a booger on the bus. It's not anything it hasn't seen before. I don't know. And this is the problem, is that if this guy's an avid bus rider, I'm going to see him for a long time. And he's always going to be Booger Boy to me.
Yeah, well, at least, you know, he's disposing of the booger instead of filling the whole booger up with his bus, the whole bus up with boogers one day at a time.
You know, I guess that's true. He's taking one for the team.
I do want to say, I believe I was on the 5 when I saw someone on the bus, like, totally rolling spleefs.
Yeah.
Just a total disregard. And this was before it was legalized or whatever.
Well, what are you going to do? All right, I gotta keep rolling here. My computer's gonna die, so it's like a ticking time bomb here, Jesse. So we gotta get to my second topic. This also comes to us from our Facebook feed. Greg Ross wrote us. He said, "Will Elder Scrolls Online be hit or miss?" And Jesse, you're both more. See, I've never really done an MMORPG. But I have played Morrowind and Skyrim, but you are more well-versed in Skyrim and Morrowind, and you've actually done MMORPGs. So, right. I wanted to get your take on this, but I also have something else that I want to double up on. But first of all, what's your initial reaction to this?
Well, initial reaction to the question is, if I could accurately answer that question, I would be running the most successful game blog on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, there have been a lot of great MMO properties that have gone, and they haven't, I mean, you know, WoW is the pinnacle. WoW is what everything is going to be graded against, right?
Right.
So, whether it's World of Warcraft or not, it's not going to be World of Warcraft. I mean, there have been a ton of IPs that are very popular that haven't made the jump. Even Star Wars: The Old Republic, probably the second most famous RPG, never made that jump. If it's, I could totally see it being on that same level because it's still Bethesda. So maybe I would, if I had to predict, I would say it'd probably be on the same level of The Old Republic. But you have a lot of IPs that are very popular that went to the MMO world and didn't have a great time. Dungeons and Dragons, Star Trek, the original Star Wars Galaxies. You know, so whatever. I don't know. I love Elder Scrolls. I think if they could put that experience in an MMO, that might be great. But I also just cherish Elder Scrolls as a single player experience.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to Jim Jones of Bald Move Network, and he was lamenting that it was going to be a MMO because he wants just a four-player co-op Elder Scrolls so badly.
Oh, yeah. That's basically Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And that would be pretty, that'd be pretty slick. I don't know. If there's a company that's going to do it right, I want to think it's Bethesda. I really hope so.
Right.
It's been a long time since I've played an MMO. I love MMOs. I really do. I have a long history with them, and if there was one that was done right, if Elder Scrolls was done right, oh, yeah, I'd get into that.
Right. And you know, speaking of MMOs, Jordy, good friend of the show and MVP at Life, Jordy Hoyt, also posted on a thread, just sending us a link, a very mysterious link to Wikipedia about Ingress, the game. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
So it's an Android OS MMO made by Google. And what it is an augmented reality MMO video game where you belong to one of two factions, Enlightened or Resistance. The gameplay allows players to enclose regions of territory on the surface of the Earth with virtual links between virtual posts, which are visible in game software. The top-level goal of the game is for one's function to control large numbers of mind units, the estimated number of humans within the regions of territory controlled by the faction. Basically what this is there's a bunch of these, I want to get this right, they're basically these regions, and they're actually set throughout the physical world, and they're set around landmarks, so I'm sure like the Space Needle is a region, you know, and you kind of go through real world, and it's basically like Foursquare mixed with an MMO. And this is kind of where I would love to see MMOs going. Like, Foursquare is a cool concept, but I don't really give a shit if I'm the mayor of Gold's Gym on 24th Street. But, like, if I can do something while I'm riding the bus that helps me build a character in a world, that's a pretty cool activity. So, like, why not be innovative? You have a great IP in Elder Scrolls. What if Elder Scrolls, what if they turned the U.S. into the entire thing? You had like North Dakota was Skyrim and like Florida was Morrowind, and basically you could like go around and claim these territories in a mobile way.
Because they already have such a great thing going that save the experimental stuff for something no one's ever heard of, and something like Skyrim or something like Elder Scrolls, they can be a little more conventional.
Well, there you go.
That'd be my take on it.
Then why don't we just do a Muppets MMORPG?
Why not indeed, sir?
I mean, think about it. You could have Sesame Street, but you could also have Los Angeles, both within the Muppet realm. I just love the idea of going to Sesame Street for like...
And they have like Dickensian England.
Exactly. Dickensian England. They have the pirates, you know, of Treasure Island.
Uh-huh.
This could be good shit.
The Somali pirates of Treasure Island.
There you go. I don't know. I've said it a long time. I said it with the Star Wars RPG and MMORPG. It didn't work out. I'm just not a PC guy, and I know PC guys are rolling their eyes at me right now, but like until they put an MMO on a console, I'm probably not going to play an MMO. But that's just me.
Yeah. And you know? I mean, we've been over this before, and I think it's a communication issue because it's just much more difficult to communicate over a console.
Well, it's more difficult to type, but if you just use your headset.
Yeah, but.
And I think they could tailor something. So, like, I think that the perfect candidate for this is Borderlands. If they could figure out a way to do a Borderlands MMO, I think that is something that could really work on console. Take that experience.
Maybe work, but. MMOs, by their very nature, include a bunch of people communicating at once, and that doesn't work when you have 20 people talking over each other.
Yeah. I just think it'd be cool if I'm playing Borderlands and I get a mission and I can team up with a group of people online that I may or may not know to go in and get that mission done. I guess you can kind of do that already. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't have the answer. Like I said, if I knew, I would be running the most successful video game blog on the internet.
Well, if you know, go ahead and write us, personalarrogance@gmail.com, or you could give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. You can also always check us out on Facebook. I'd like to thank everybody who checked us out on Facebook today, posted on the thread, and liked us in the past week. We got some great likes. Unfortunately, my phone is being weird, and so is my computer. So I will recognize those likes next week, I promise you. And I really, really, really want to make everybody in Colorado aware that not only Jesse, not only me, not only MVP at Life Jordy Hoyt, not only Rocky Mountain correspondent Levi Jetty, but also Ball Move All-Stars, Aaron and Gino, are going to be at a meetup that's right, people. Is your mind fucking blown yet? We're all going to be in the same place, Boulder, Colorado, at the end of this month. January. It'll be January.
The meetup is February 1st.
Okay. February 1st. February 1st.
Friday.
We're going to be there. It's at the Avery Brewery, and I believe it's at 8 o'clock on February 1st. If you're in the Boulder area, if you're in the Denver area, get out to Boulder. Meet us. We'd love to have a beer with you. We're going to party like it's, I don't know.
2013.
Yeah. Or 1989. There's going to be a ton of Coke. That's what we're saying, guys. So please.
Cola.
Yeah. And rum. But go ahead and come on out. Boulder, Colorado. It's the, Blue Yonder Personal Arrogance Exposition in Boulder. It's the inaugural one. Big meetup. So if you're in Colorado that weekend, please come and say hi. And we'd love to meet you. From one state where marijuana is legal to another.
Exactly.
Of course, The Walking Dead just did their wrap up, their midseason wrap up show. But you gotta check out the Because Show. It's on right. baldmove.com. Please go check out the ladies at the Because Show. We love them. I think they like us a little bit. And
they called us out twice last week.
Wow.
Yeah. They want to see our sweaters.
Well,
they're doing the 7 days of sweaters. And they want to see everyone's sweaters.
Oh.
So take a picture of yourself wearing your sweater right. and send it to the Because Show Facebook page.
Do it.
Upload that.
All right. And so please go to baldmove.com. And you know we got plenty of saucy, ooh, so saucy TV episodes up there for you as well. So that's that. Jesse, let's do some recommendations. Call to cast before my computer dies. What is your first recommendation?
Well, my first recommendation, Eric, is, again, want to reiterate, the Bald Move Network meetup.
Yep.
February 1st, 8 p.m., Avery Brewing Company. I'm super excited for it. I'm going to be Daronka.
Yeah.
So if you want to see Jesse Wilson being a Daronka.
Yeah. It's going to be
you should be there.
It's going to be a juvenile song. Everybody in that club's getting tipsy.
Yeah. Especially me. And I'm going to play. I'm going to play the brewery card. I'm going to play the professional brewer card. I'm hoping to get a tour. I want to talk to some guys.
Dude.
I want to talk about yeast propagation, see what their yeast brinks are like. I want to talk about, you know, mashing in, strike temps, mash temps, boil durations. I want to talk about hop additions. I want to talk about yeast nutrients.
Wait.
It's going to be sick.
Are you going to be talking about the Kentucky Dozen? Are you gonna be hitting the Kentucky Dozen?
That's the one thing I won't be talking about.
Let's move on.
Okay.
My first recommendation this week, it's gonna be a game. It's the greatest game that I have played in a very long time. It's for iOS. It's called Space Team. It's amazing. It was featured in Penny Arcade. Basically you can Bluetooth all of your iOS. You got an iPhone, you got an iPod Touch, you got an iPad, and you'll Bluetooth together, and it's got a bunch of like weird little commands attached to it, and basically you're going to be saying like flux capacitor to 7, and then somebody has flux capacitor on their pad and they have to like flip it up, and the whole time you're getting pelted by meteors going in the warp drive. It's amazing. I have a sound bite. It's right here.
Pi adapter, engage pi adapter,
increase flange bib to 2,
disengage wavelength,
flange lib to full power.
Disengage wavelength.
Photoconveyor what?
Photoconveyor 2.
Plunge warp lantern.
Mint steam rudder.
Launch megahorn.
Turn on depth buckle. Asteroid every shake.
And Jesse, that's the soundbite. It's an amazing game. You feel like you're in Star Trek/Star Wars, and I love it. Space Team, it's free. Download it.
That sounds cool, Eric.
Yeah. What's your segmentation?
Good question. I know that my recommendation is the Oak Aged Yeti.
Yeah.
By Great Divide. That's another Colorado brewing company. It's out for a limited time. Pick up a 22 ounce. It's an Imperial Stout. I loved it. I got it for New Year's. I picked up a couple special beers, for my New Year's celebration. It was really good. Oak Aged Yeti.
Good. Okay. This is really degrading. We're losing power fast. I'm going to do my recommendation real quick. It's King of Tokyo. I love this game. It's a game by Richard Garfield. It's a board game where you play a bunch of monsters invading Tokyo. It's a dice rolling game. If you know how to play Yahtzee, you know how to play this game. Plus, it's like Magic Light. It's got a lot of great flavor text and a lot of great wording. that will remind you of Magic, or if you've never played Magic before, this is a perfect game to play before you play Magic to kind of get your feet wet. Jesse,
okay.
That's it. My computer's about to die.
Okay, let's go.
All right, buddy. We love you, the listener, and we thank you so much for letting us pour another hour of sound into your ears.
Go with it.
Go for it. And we'd like to remind you that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please stay arrogant.